Well, good evening. This is an interview for the Michigan Science Fiction Writers Series, Friday, March 19th, 2004. I'm Stephanie Mattson, and tonight I'm speaking with horror fantasy author Stephen Lee Clymer. Welcome to the MSU Library, Steve.
Thank you very much.
Now, beyond the Norse mythology and Fijian tribal rituals featured in the book, what was your inspiration for Soul Temple?
Soul Temple was quite an intimate book to write.
Oh, how so?
I was going through a lot of personal issues, and what I would do is I would project my emotional state into Spencer or the rest of the people in the book.
Okay.
And I tend to do that a lot with my books. It's like a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was, you know, under a lot of pressure or something like that, you know, I would, you know, funnel those angry feelings into Spencer and Thoth, or Thoth, or I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
Your own character, okay. Okay, so is the protagonist Spencer or his friends Dave and Jason or his girlfriend based at all on you or loosely on people you know?
No. They're not based on anybody I really know or anything like that.
But you just funneled all of your transgressions into them.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
Well, this is a question from Leslie Bame, the series coordinator, but have you done any study of shamanism?
No, I have not, no. But I have a book that I'm working on that's really based deeply in Chinese mythology.
Okay.
And I will probably touch on that. Because I'm going to be getting into a lot of ancient Chinese mythology for this book.
Now, are you writing that in part to honor your daughter's Chinese heritage?
Yes, and to honor the fact that I'm Chinese as well. Mm-hmm. I know no one can see me right now, but I'm you know an American. But when we adopted our daughters, we decided that we became Chinese American just as they became Chinese American.
Oh, okay. Good. So that's how you're self-identifying now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, another of your books, Demonesque, centers on a small-town police detective who's embroiled in a murder mystery, and your novel, Bear Walker, is based on Native American legends. Mm-hmm. So how do you find and develop such diverse storylines?
Well, this is probably the reason I'm not that big of a writer, probably because I'm in such a niche, is because I write whatever I write my stories that I want to tell.
Okay.
And I don't really pick like, oh, I'm gonna write this horror story so I can sell it to the market.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, here's something that I think will be a horror. I can write it like this. Mm-hmm. Like I have some friends who write series movie tie-ins, like the Buffy the Vampire series books.
Yeah.
I would be awful at that because I can't just contrive and push out, you know, like formula stuff.
Yeah, you don't want to be limited.
Yeah, and I just write whatever I want to write. Mm-hmm. That's probably what gets me in a lot of trouble.
But if you succeed in selling and publishing, then great. And if you don't, then that's probably okay too.
Yeah, I'm not looking to make $1 million, but hey, if someone gave it to me, I'd take it.
Okay.
I'm just out there to tell the stories that I wanted. These are the stories that I would love to hear or read when I walk into a bookstore. And I think that's one of the things I could tell a young writer or an author that's starting out is, really write what's missing. I mean, if you walk into a bookstore or a library and you say, God, wouldn't it be cool if there was a book like this way and that way and this happened? Well, go write that book. That's the book that wants to be written.
Okay.
So, and that's kind of the way I feel about the books that I write. Mm-hmm. They just pop out of my head.
Okay.
You know?
And they're not like anything else out there.
No, and they usually don't even resemble each other.
Mm-hmm.
I switch voice, I switch tenses, and all that kind of stuff. I really just write the way the book. I almost feel like I'm taking dictation from the characters. You know, like if I'm writing about one of the characters. Yeah, I would stop and go, he would never say this.
Oh,
and I would just, you know, backspace it and take it out because he wouldn't. And he's, you know, the character's in my head telling me, I wouldn't say that, so don't put it down.
The character's in your head?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Any fractured personalities?
No, nothing that okay. I would like to get into here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I'm not going to touch that one. Now, you recently sold optioned Demonesque to After Dark Productions in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So it may soon be coming to a movie theater near us.
Yes.
Would you like to see any of your other books filmed?
Actually, I think Dream Thieves would be an awesome fantasy movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the character, I would love to see an actor like a, I don't know who, but I would just love to see an actor try to really dig their teeth into Grimm,
yeah,
and see what they could do with him. Or even Soul Temple would make a great movie, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Probably be a very popular movie with young people because
yeah.
of the because of the college themes
right.
and the slackerdom.
Yeah, and the violence too.
Yes, there's a lot of it's pretty violent.
It would draw that 18 to 25 year old male demographic that's so highly coveted.
Yeah.
Now, are you interested in adapting your own work to the screen, or do you prefer someone else to? And why?
I don't think that I would be interested in adapting my own stuff for the screen.
Okay.
I think that I stick more, I do better with fiction because I can get into it more. I can't just write the dialogue for somebody, and I can't just do camera angles and say, medium shot,
mm-hmm.
he says this. I need to smell the room. I need to touch the carpet. I need to see the light coming in the window or something like that, or the spiders crawling across the room.
No, would you like ideally to have final say on a script though, to make sure it's true to your
that
book?
That would be nice.
Okay.
I kind of got that with this one, only because the plot is so tightly woven,
mm-hmm.
that they're pretty much have agreed that they're going to stick with it.
Oh, good.
Only because it's so, it's so complicated and knitted together. And I do have it where that if it is like popular and they want to make a second one, they have to come to me to get the idea that they won't just go off and ruin my character.
Right. Very good. And I do hope that it can be made into a movie. Now, your novel, Dream Thieves, I found on Amazon.com that it's available in ebook reader format for mm-hmm. pocket PCs mm-hmm. and other computers. So how did you come to offer a book in electronic format?
I actually started in electronic format.
Okay.
My first book, Dream Thieves, is my first book, and it came out in 1997,
mm-hmm.
and it was an electronically published book. Through Hard Shell Word Factory, which is, they're like a pioneer in e-books, new publishing. They're like the, HarperCollins of e-books.
Mm-hmm.
And I was their second book that they published.
Oh, wow.
And it just seemed natural. I was sending out the book. And it was actually, I actually sent them this book by mistake. I was going to send them another one.
Oh.
And I attached the wrong file. And when they got this, they were like, you didn't send us the book that you said you were going to send, but we like this one. And so
okay.
it went like that. And I figured, what the heck,
mm-hmm.
It's something new. Why should I sit here and beat my head against the wall with traditional publishers?
Right.
And, because the point is writing the words and getting it out. And it did very well. And they then Hard Shell got into doing paperbacks and immediately said, mm-hmm. we want to put Dream Thieves out in paperback. And so good. That's still out there in print. And it's doing pretty well still.
Very good. Now, you are a PhD candidate in English composition at Wayne State University.
Why, yes, I am.
And does your current graduate work relate at all to your writing?
Funny you should say that. As I said before, I'm taking out the frustrations of higher education and graduate work in a book that I'm working on, that I'm going to deal with my issues mm-hmm. with the university system in my own special way, in a fantasy, dark fantasy world. But
So in a way, some of your work has come out of your program.
Yeah. Sure,
your studies.
Sure. And Bear Walker, my book about my werewolf book that was set in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
I got really good reviews on that from the Ann Arbor News because of the locality of it mm-hmm. and things like that. And It was inspired by, I had an undergraduate folklore class, and we started learning about loup garous and other shapeshifters in Native American mythology. And I'm like going, okay. And then all of a sudden it just started popping in my head that the story just started forming of this whole thing. And then by the time, it took me like maybe 2 weeks to write that out in rough form, and then, you know, another 4 to 5 months to work on the second and third drafts. But once I get going pretty well. I'm a quick typer.
Guess so.
So that's the skill I got from high school, was typing. Good. So that's the reason I'm a little bit faster than a lot of other authors, is because my hands can keep up with my head.
Good. Well, beyond the obvious fact of setting, what do you think living and working here in Michigan contributes to your writing?
I think it contributes to a richness in characters, the development of characters, because Michigan is, you know, we're working class, you know, we don't, I mean, of course, there's exceptions, you know, like if you drive through Northville and you see those big giant houses and you go, who's living there? Where do they work to live in that house?
That's,
and there's like a subdivision of like million-dollar houses, and you're just like, what? Anyway, but what it is, you can build the characters because of the richness of hard work that made these people. Like, I work in Allen Park, Michigan, and I went to Eastern Michigan, and my dad worked for GM for 30 some odd years, and my mom was a nurse at Hurley Medical Center in Flint.
Yeah.
I mean, these are working class jobs, and I knew a lot of these things. And when I was reading M earlier in the presentation, the mother in M, my mom used to work that much.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of dealt with that remembrance by putting it into, and that's usually, I do that a lot with books and characters. Just, you know, I might have a fragment of a memory and it ends up being funneled into a character, and it works, you know, it works out to help build the story and things like that. But of course, I've digressed from your question.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's what I wanted to know. Well, you've mentioned your quintology of juvenile literature books, beginning with M, and then you also mentioned the Chinese folklore novel that you're working on.
Yeah,
Chinese mythology.
Yeah, I've been working on that for about 10 years.
Oh, okay. Well, are there any other projects you're currently working on?
I was noodling out a new one when I was just driving in when I was driving into the campus here.
Oh, okay.
I've been toying around with an idea, and finally it was ripe. It just burst. And a lot of times that's what happens with my stories. I might have them hanging around for years in my head and not be ready for them to, and it's like, I'm not saying that, well, the stories tell me when they're ready to be written. The Chinese mythology story that I'll be working on, I'm probably years out from finishing that, because I'm still working through things with it. You know, I've been to China like 3 times. And every time I go back to China, you know, it's where my heart is. It's where I really love China. And so the book can't be just written and thrown together and just put out there.
Right.
It's going to be something that comes from deep inside. And so that's the reason it's taking so long. Some of them are fun reads that I write. Like Demonesque was just something fun.
Yeah.
It was a blast to write. Some of the stuff, same with the Pieces of the World, the children's fantasy books. They're just fun to write. And it's like, why write a book if it's not going to be fun to read or write? I mean, it would just be, that's the whole bottom line. I mean, there's all these theories and these schools of literature and things like that. But you know, if the book's not fun, or the book is not just really interesting, it's like, why read it? I mean, or why write it? Yeah.
I understand what you're getting at. Well, I wish you luck with all of your projects.
Oh, thank you.
And your future publications. And thank you very much, Steve, for participating in the library's Michigan Science Fiction Writer Series.
Anytime.